Good evening, and welcome to Local Motion, where we go in-depth with local public affairs from around the KVNF listening area. I'm Jake Ryan. Today on the show, I'm in a small office on Grand Street in Paonia. It's quiet, with only the sound of the air vent and the chest refrigerator making any noise. Near that refrigerator, two women are pulling out containers of now-dead mosquitoes. This small office also doubles as the lab for the North Fork Mosquito Abatement District. Cedar Keshet has dumped a jar of mosquitoes in front of her microscope. Not only does she start to count them, she also has to identify them.
Right, because there's probably five species, right, that we identified here. And the one species that carries West Nile has to be taken out of the others. And then that's what we use to determine if there's West Nile, running a scientific test on them.
The CDC has identified over 60 species of mosquito that have been found carrying West Nile virus. In this area, only mosquitoes in the Culex genus have West Nile.
So we just separate the non-mosquitoes out, which in this card that I have here, there's not too many that aren't mosquitoes. They're kind of obvious. And then we line up on our cards and go through them and pull out the Culex, because all the species of Culex get tested, and then we identify and count the other species too. They look a lot alike.
How do you tell the difference between these mosquitoes?
Well, I know because someone told me. I studied it, so that's how I know. But when you look at them close, you can tell they have differences. Like the main difference from the Culex to the other mosquitoes is it has a rounded abdomen, and it's got a stripe on its proboscis and also on its hind legs. Toward the end, the joints have banding on both sides of the joint. But just like anything in nature, there's a lot of variation. So being able to tell them apart is challenging at times because they'll get faded as they get older. A lot of times, there's just anomalies that you really have to pay real close attention and look for the differences. Lulu is the mosquito sensei. She's taught me everything, what little I know.
Yeah, so I've been counting and identifying mosquitoes for the district for 6 years.
You've been staring through a microscope at mosquitoes for 6 years.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's amazing. I mean, you get to see some amazing stuff. And it's fun. It's not so bad. You just count them and you pull out the Culex and they get tested and it's great.
Lulu and Cedar are the two that count and identify, but there are several people involved in the process of monitoring and controlling mosquitoes, and therefore West Nile, in the North Fork.
The traps are set the previous night and then picked up this morning, and then there's a portion of the trap that goes into the freezer. And that's how they get dead, right? Because otherwise, how would you count them?
So how many mosquitoes do you guys count through, usually?
Well, you can see Cedar is counting a large group over there. She's got a ton. She's probably got 300 or 400 mosquitoes on that card, maybe more. Usually when you have a big number like that, it's mostly one kind of mosquito, so you go through, like Cedar said, and you pull out all the non-mosquitoes, and then what I do is I go through and pull out all the Culex, and then I go back and count all the other species that are in there. And usually it's not as difficult as it might seem. I mean, and it's not as boring as it might seem either.
It's exciting.
Fun.
It's interesting.
Yeah, you see a lot of different things, and you really get to know the mosquitoes and where they're hanging out and how they hang out. And well, of course, they're always hanging out by standing water. That's just what they do. But it's interesting because certain mosquitoes conjugate in certain areas. Certain types, kinds of mosquitoes like a specific habitat, and that helps the rest of the crew focus on finding areas that are breeding mosquitoes, if they know where to look, they can, you know, kind of narrow it down a little bit. So it's really interesting. There's a lot of questions that can still be answered in mosquito science, and that's throughout the world. And the amazing amount of research that's been done on these little creatures is absolutely amazing. I mean, it's astonishing. And we still don't know a lot about them, everything about them. It's still, it's still, a lot of it is still a mystery.
Yeah, which is too bad, because, I mean, they cause a lot of problems, not just West Nile.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, mosquitoes kill more people every year than anything. Chikungunya, is that what it's called? And it's a disease that's coming up from the Caribbean, and it makes you really sick, and you wish you were dead when you have it. Because you're in such pain, but it rarely kills people. And West Nile is pretty much that way, too. It rarely kills people. It seems to really take advantage of people that have, weakened immune systems, or maybe a diet that's really high in fats and sugars or things like that, whatever it is. But malaria, now you're talking. That's the one that kills people a lot.
Really?
Yeah. It's a big, big killer. Kills many, many people every year.
Wow.
But we don't have malaria here. But we do have the mosquito that can carry malaria.
The mosquito that's originally carries malaria is here.
Yes, that species is here. But you have to have people that are infected.
Right now, malaria isn't a worry on the Western Slope. Worldwide, though, it's a different story. The World Health Organization estimates that over 600,000 people died from malaria last year. That's about the number of people who live in Denver, just in 2013. West Nile is downright tame compared to that, but it's still no picnic.
I've had West Nile. I don't know if that's why I got this job or not, but I was really ill, and I don't eat a diet high in fats and didn't have a compromised immune system. But it was just a year where, even though I wore long sleeves all the time and put on repellent, they'd bite me through my clothes, because I went, I did a lot of irrigating, and I was on the Grand Mesa quite a bit, and I was also on the Front Range that summer. So, you know, you just have to really be careful. But 80% of people who get West Nile don't have any symptoms, so there's a lot of people walking around who've had West Nile and don't even know it.
80% don't have symptoms.
Mm-hmm. But they're infected.
Wow.
Right. How great is that, right? I mean, you can go from not knowing you have it to somebody who dies or ends up crippled.
Really sick. And then of the 20% who have symptoms, sometimes you think, oh, man, I hope I don't have a summer cold. And then that's it. You just think about it. But you've had West Nile, and that's your extent of exhibiting symptoms. So just a real small percentage actually get severe symptoms, and of that percentage, even smaller get the encephalitis and then the meningitis, which is could be fatal, but is certainly debilitating.
And now, what did your symptoms exhibit as?
I had around 104 fever for about 16 days, and I had encephalitis, so I was really ill. I wasn't hospitalized because I didn't have meningitis. I was under constant doctor's care and friend's care, and it took me about 2 months for my fever to then maintain, and then after that, it was about, I'd say a good 6 months before I felt okay again. So it was pretty crazy.
6 months of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've had it too, Lulu?
Yeah. And it's for me, it wasn't that bad. I had a neck ache and a headache for about 3 days, and then I was fine. So, and a lot of people had it in 2006. That was when West Nile virus arrived into this area. It started on the East Coast, and it took in 1999, and it took until 2006 for it to come across the country and actually get started here. Yeah, we had, in 2006, we had an epidemic of it. There were more cases per capita here in Paonia and in Hotchkiss than there were anywhere else in the state. Yep, we were the hot spot. So, you know, a lot of people had it. And a lot of people never even knew they had it. But a lot of people had it bad enough to get into the hospital and figure out that they had it.
So now, the North Fork Mosquito Abatement District is vigilant about keeping their number of mosquitoes down. Less mosquitoes is a more enjoyable summer.
But when it comes to Culex, a large number of Culex means a higher chance of having Culex mosquitoes with West Nile. 2 years ago, the West Nile presence in the North Fork was deemed an epidemic, which changes by the CDC, Center for Disease Control, which is a national health organization, because of the amount of cases and the amount of people getting very seriously sick with West Nile.
That's Chris Chinkle, the field operations manager. He oversees the operations for the district.
This year is going really well. We have not had a positive West Nile in the district since the beginning of the season. That district is from Hotchkiss to Paonia and above. Just to the west of us, there's sort of a no man's land, Rogers Mesa, which is unfortunately not covered by the Delta City Mosquito District or by the Hotchkiss-Paonia Mosquito District, the same as Crawford. These people basically are left on their own. They can petition the health commissioner to get a mosquito district for them created. The mosquito districts are funded by mill levies, and it works great when you have a subdivision with small houses and people pay property taxes, but when you have large ranches that don't pay a lot of mill levy, it's very hard to access those areas. And since those areas are larger, usually with more problems such as ponds, tailwater, swamps, those areas get a lot of treatment without contributing a lot to our ability to pay employees and pay for product for treatment for those areas. So it's difficult.
Like Chris said, so far this year they haven't found West Nile in the mosquitoes they test. What makes things tense is that they do have West Nile in the next mosquito district over. They're also next to a large amount of area that isn't managed at all. No man's land. But all things considered, they've done pretty well. However, they'll never wipe them all out.
Mosquitoes are much more adapted to the environment, to their world, than we are. And to think that we're going to eradicate them is unrealistic. I have people tell me, I was bitten by a mosquito, I want you to kill every single last mosquito. It's not going to happen. We can do our best, but there will be... We have 50 square miles that we need to cover and treat. And there will be mosquitoes here. We just need to do our best to minimize West Nile and large amounts of mosquitoes.
How they should go about that is a matter of some debate.
And we use the most environmentally safe chemicals that we can possibly find that still do the job. You know, there's a wide spectrum of chemicals used by mosquito districts all across America. There are districts that are still using malathion. What's
malathion?
Malathion is probably the most used mosquito adulticide of recent times. It's very noxious. It makes people sick. I've never had any personal experience with it. I know Lulu has, but it is very toxic. It's sort of, it is just overkill. There are chemicals that we use that are actually inactivated, become neutral after 3 to 4 hours. So after 3 or 4 hours, it doesn't even kill mosquitoes. So that's why we spray at dusk when mosquitoes come out. At dusk when bees and other beneficial insects are dormant, so that we stay away from doing any damage to the native bee populations and the beneficial insects in this highly agricultural area. So it's tough because we do not want chemicals, harsh chemicals to affect the bees and the people. There are people who are chemical sensitive in this, very chemically sensitive in this area. There are people who don't want us to use any chemicals, but this community is very separated in terms of the people who are afraid of chemicals and the people who are afraid of West Nile. You know, the mosquito district was formed to stop people from getting sick from West Nile. I would say that we would try to stop. We don't want to use chemicals. You know, mosquitoes are sort of part of summer. If it weren't for West Nile, I don't think our job would be as important as it is.
When you were talking about the fogging that used to happen here in Paoni up and down the streets, how long ago was that? Was it like 1950s?
No, it was rather recent. I've been here 6 years. It was about 6 years ago, I think, was when I experienced it once. But yeah, it happened for a long time. The mosquitoes in this area have been an issue. I talked to an old timer who, when he was a little kid, he would have the reins of a cart, and his brothers would be behind him, and they would be spraying zinc arsenate from sprayers onto areas of foliage, etc., to kill mosquitoes. I mean, we've gone from zinc arsenate to DDT to methylfolate to various chemicals, and you know, mosquito fighting is a big business in America, from Florida, all across America. Any place where you have agriculture, you're going to, you know, and warm weather to grow crops, you're going to have a perfect conditions to grow mosquitoes.
The debate has calmed down in some recent years. The district no longer fogs the town, instead of opting to fog the breeding grounds when necessary. They focused more on larvicide. They've toned down the chemicals they use, opting for softer chemicals, and in extra sensitive areas, spraying a combination fruit juice and crystallized garlic. Effective, but expensive. Before, trucks used to fog Paonia every Monday night. The argument was punctuated in 2003.
They didn't want it to happen anymore. I don't know the history, but there was a friend of mine said she heard an explosion late at night, and next thing that was what people had heard was that someone had dynamited one wall of the mosquito shed. It's very contentious. It must be really hard when you disagree with what is being done and you have no recourse.
Some people still do remember that incident, though, including Delta County Sheriff Fred McKee.
You know, I can remember that somebody had placed some type of explosive in the building along the wall, caused pretty significant damage to the building. I believe the possibility was dynamite. There was some red paper and some stuff that was found in the area that led us to believe, but I don't believe we ever had any real conclusive results. We never were able to identify any suspects, and no one ever took any personal claim on it, like they were trying to make a statement about spraying mosquitoes. So we never identified any suspects.
Sheriff McKee says that some ideas were thrown around, that it was an angry local, someone with the Earth Liberation Front, an eco-terrorist group, or perhaps even a disgruntled employee. The Colorado Bureau of Investigation came in and helped, but no one was ever arrested.
I can recall that we interviewed a lot of people right at that time, and then for the ongoing year, every time we'd hear a rumor or someone would make a comment about it, we'd interview more people.
Were you surprised? Is a bombing common in Delta County?
No, I think, we've had, I've been here going on 23 years, and I think we've had two, you know.
Things aren't as tense as they were back then, but some of the stakes are higher now that West Nile has been introduced. This year, West Nile hasn't been confirmed in mosquitoes yet, even though it was found in June of last year. Back in the lab, Chris is testing the latest batch of Culex.
So I've got these three vials sorted. This is basically a mosquito blender. Okay, here goes.
They test the local mosquitoes twice a week.
Ah, silence was never sweeter.
Today is a special test. This district has had some big events, from the BMW bike rally to Cherry Days in Paonia. This test, the one Chris is doing right now, will tell him in a few seconds if they're still West Nile free, even through the Delta County Fair last week in Hotchkiss, which saw thousands of people, thousands of possible West Nile cases.
The BBs have been moved around in the agitator, completely dissolving the mosquitoes into a murky, brown, sludgy liquid with a frothy head.
Now, West Nile affects mosquitoes, too. Mosquitoes can be riddled with it, or just have a small amount of the virus and be fighting it off. This test, the RAMP test, sees how much West Nile is there. Anything below a 30 is a negative. The mosquito only has the sniffles and isn't dangerous to humans.
We have a number. It's 15.2. And it's 11, even better than the last one, 11.8. So here we are down to the last one, last number. And a little bit higher. This is just below 30. So we're still negative.
Nice job. That last one was pretty close to the line, 29.8.
Yeah, I know. We're both smiling, aren't we? You know, I don't like that number, but it's still a win for our team. You know, anything from 30 up to 100 is a warning sign. Anything below 30 is considered a negative.
It's a fine balancing act that they do, struggling to keep the populations in check while also trying to keep the citizens they're protecting happy and safe. This year seems to be going well, and everyone is hoping next year is a success too. You've been listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Jake Ryan.
Sun is hot, mosquitoes come, suck your blood.